This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode number 318. What did you watch this week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
What is up, friend?
Oh, you know, things and stuff.
Stuff and things?
Occasionally, not that often.
Nice.
Yep.
Well, I actually I watched quite a bit, but not really.
Okay.
I did start three new shows.
Wow.
Yep. So.
I started one new.
One was a suggestion of my buddy Rude, actually.
Okay.
He talked about a show called Blood and Treasure. Apparently, it had been on in Paramount in 2019, and season two just dropped last week or the week before because of the COVID and everything got delayed. So he's like, you would really like it. It's like a National Treasure, Indiana Jones type treasure hunting adventure show.
Okay.
So Kate and I watched the first double episode, and it was weird. We kind of enjoyed it, while at the same time not really enjoying it. Like,
really?
We liked the concept. You know, the treasure hunting concept was cool. You know, like National Treasure, Indiana Jones, or whatever. You know, like that concept of, you know, the mystery of and the adventure and all that stuff was kind of neat. But the characters weren't that. They were just okay. They're more like blah, like not really interesting, but not really. Like, I don't know. It just felt a little off. But we overall, we like the story and the concept. And then we watched the second episode tonight, and I enjoyed the characters much more. So it's almost like, you know, that pilot episode, they're trying to figure out what works and what doesn't work. And then they're like, all right, with episode two, we need to fix X, Y, Z, or you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I did like episode two a lot better. Again, it's called Blood and Treasure. It's on the Paramount Plus, and we're going to keep at it. So there's one season that's out, and then season two just started.
Interesting. I mean, you haven't fully sold me on it, but if I had time for a new show, I might check it out.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a fun show because it's an adventure show in Egypt and looking for Cleopatra and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
We used to date and it didn't work out because I was an FBI agent and you're a master thief.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're together again, not as a couple, but to solve this mystery.
But I'll bet the sexual tension's there.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What was your new show you started?
Resident Evil.
Oh, how was it?
Awful.
Oh, good. I'll avoid it.
Yep. Avoid it. I got maybe an episode and a half in. They lost me immediately because it started off by saying, you know, this is 14 years after the end of the world. Okay. Yeah. All right. And then we do some narrative beats for about 10 minutes, and then it goes 4 months before the end of the world. And I'm like, no, fuck you.
Oh, fuck you.
And it just keeps jumping back and forth inside an episode. So you get the future, yeah. And then you get the past. And then you get the future, and the past stuff so far has been dumb. It's, you know, the Wesker family moves into this suburban neighborhood, and, you know, it's all owned by Umbrella, and Albert's going to be doing some stuff for them, and he's a big, important guy, and he's got these two teenage daughters that are twins, but not really, because they have, what was it, the same father, but two different egg donors that one surrogate raised both babies in their womb and they were born at the same, or two different egg donors and they were both born at the same time. I don't know. They explained it. I couldn't care less. So they're teen angsty, getting picked on at school, stuff like that. I was like, I don't want to see this juxtaposed with then one of them being grown up looking for the other one in the apocalypse 14 years from now.
Yeah.
It lost me.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, it was not enjoyable right out of the gate. And that's not even – I know that there were a lot of people out there that were ragging on it. I put that aside. I was like, no, I'm going to make my own decisions. And just based on the narrative jumps back and forth, I didn't like it. So, yeah. Can't recommend. Okay.
We started the series Alone on Netflix. It's apparently a History Channel original. I believe we're watching like season 7 or something like that that came out in 2001. There's a new season that comes out that came out this year or coming out or it's already out, started. But anyways, it's about 10 people. They're abandoned individually, isolated, and like Newfoundland, all kind of in the same region. And they're allowed to take 10 items with them. And they have to make a shelter, find food. Whoever can survive the longest is who wins. And they don't start them like in the spring, all nice and stuff. They start them in late fall. So they have to deal with Canadian winter. And there's one girl on there from Cherryfield, Maine. So that was kind of, you know, the little trailer we saw looked good. So we started watching it. We've watched 4 or 5 episodes now, I think. Mm. And it's actually very interesting. Like they're doing a good job making it compelling. Yeah, so we're enjoying that too as well.
Good.
Plus we're enjoying Deadliest Catch. So we actually have 3 shows we're enjoying currently.
Wow.
Now, I know.
You said that you started 3 shows.
Yeah.
Did I miss one?
I haven't talked about it yet.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, the 3rd show I started was American Horror Stories.
Oh, that's right. I started that as well.
Yeah, the new anthology is back. So what did you think of the first episode, the doll episode?
I've never been as big of a fan of the American Horror Story movies or shows as you have, you know.
And that's saying something because I like certain seasons.
Yeah.
Not every season either.
Right. Yep. So you definitely stuck with it longer than I did. I had some seasons that I watched, but a lot of it I was just like, yeah, I couldn't get into it. You know, they'd lose me after like an hour or two, you know, into a season, and then I'd never go back. So, I remember last year watching Horror Stories, the anthology. Yeah. I actually liked it because it changed it up every week.
Yeah.
So that being said, I really enjoyed this episode.
I did too. I thought it was a great story. I thought it was nice and creepy. Cool little tie-in with the Covenant season at the end.
Yes. Yes.
Which that is the only season I've never watched. I've never even tried to watch that season. And so it's almost like maybe I should give it a try because it's the only one I haven't.
It's not like it was at the end. That was like the third season.
That's
right?
Like the third season. Yeah. Yep.
So you actively went out of your way to not watch that. This wasn't like it's wound down. You actively chose not to watch this one.
I feel like there was a reason why. Reason why I didn't watch it. I think it had to do with when it released. Yeah. So it came out. Oh, no. I can't see. Like Asylum. See, I didn't watch Asylum because it came out when I didn't have cable because of my divorce. And I didn't have streaming or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But Coven did. I had it when I could watch Coven. I just never did. But I did go back and watch Asylum. Mm-hmm. So I liked Murder House, Asylum. I liked Freak Show. I liked Hotel. I wasn't a huge – I thought I liked Roanoke. I was not a huge fan of Cult. I hated Apocalypse. Hated it. Didn't even finish it. I really enjoyed 1984. And I feel like I'm in the minority there. And then I did not care for Double Feature, for the first half of Double Feature. No, I didn't care for Double Feature at all. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember every season trying to start it and just falling off. Like I watched all of Murder House and I think I watched all of Asylum, but Coven, I did watch most, if not all of it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do Freak Show or any of the other ones. Like, I'd get 1 or 2 episodes in, and I was like, no, I can't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I get that. I finished Dark Winds, the first season of that on AMC Plus, the one that takes place in the 70s.
Right. You were really enjoying it. Did it pan out at the end?
Yeah, I did. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it ended really solid. I do hope it gets picked up for a second season. It's definitely something I'll keep watching. So I just don't want to give it away for anyone, for if you plan on watching it. But I mean, there was a good satisfactory conclusion. And it also essentially, because it's based on a book series, so it sets up for like, all right, we could see the continued adventures of this group of people. So I would give it a hard sell if you like Westerns even, because it's kind of like a Western. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 19 takes place in the 70s on a Indian reservation. So. Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Nice. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to make a note so that I remember to watch American Horror Stories.
It's on my Hulu.
I was like, who's this creepy little kid? Oh, yeah, that's Young Sheldon.
What are you watching Young Sheldon on?
No, I mean the actor who was in this episode of Stories, the doll episode, was Young Sheldon.
Oh, yes. That's true. I didn't even think of that, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I was like, who is this creepy little kid? He looks familiar. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, it's Young Sheldon.
So, on the Orville, I'm behind an episode. I watched episode 7 from Unknown Graves.
See, I was going to ask you about that because I realized that as well. I was like, well, wait a minute. Because Midnight Blue aired on the 21st, which was a few days back. It was like four days ago
for us. Yeah. And I did not watch that one yet.
So we should probably watch 2 episodes. I mean, there's 3 left.
Yeah. There's only
Midnight
3
Blue,
left.
Domino, and Future Unknown.
Yeah, we might as well watch 2. I'm fine. Yeah. I can do that. But this is from Unknown Graves. I really enjoyed this.
I enjoyed a lot of it.
Well, let me rephrase that. I didn't enjoy all of it. I enjoyed the Kalon story.
Yes.
I thought that was great.
Yeah, very reminiscent of when Data got his emotion chip.
I really enjoyed Lamar's story. With Tala.
Oh my God.
That was hilarious. That was hilarious. Like, all right.
Final scene.
So Lamar and Tala kind of in the last episode there, in episode 6, they kissed at the end. So like they started like a relationship. So in this episode, we see them having sex a lot. And by that means we cut to them in bed under the sheet and the sheet's moving. And then you hear like a bone breaking noise and Lamar going, ah, and it cuts to like him and Tala in bed and she's broken him. Mm-hmm. She's broken his arms or whatever it is. So he goes, he's got like a broken clavicle and bruised ribs and this and that. And the doctor's like, what are you doing? He's like, you won't tell her that he's having sex with this, with Tala, who's much stronger than men. And you know, when they're mid-coitus and the adrenaline's flowing and the juices are pumping and everything, she just gets normal aggressive for her, but for his body can't take it. So he won't tell the doctor that. So they keep healing him up. So he breaks that. He breaks a leg. And she breaks up with him. And then he like tells her, she breaks up with him. And he like, he's like, no, I want this relationship to last. We have to do this, whatever. And then he gets some advice from somebody about basically, it's oral, correct?
Yeah.
And so he's like, we're going to try and do it a different way, you know? And then we cut to her laying in bed crying, like the blanket on her. And she's like, I'm so sorry. I love you so much. I'm going to miss you. But like, she's so broken up. And we go over to Lamar, whose face is bruised, swollen. His nose is bloodied. His eyes are bloodied.
Like, his eyes aren't just bloodied, like, they're swollen shut completely.
It's like his face has been crushed, and he's talking, and he's just like, yeah, you're right, this just isn't going to work. And then he, like, cough spits, and 3 teeth fall out on his chest.
Uh-huh.
Like, like, that was so hilarious. It was just outstanding. I friggin' loved it. I loved it so much. It was just the best.
It was amazing. Julia had walked in at that time and sat down. She's like, what the hell is going on? So I had to like explain like her biology. He's human, and basically explain the whole thing. She's like, that's fucking nasty. that's awesome.
So we also meet this Dr. Vilka, who has found a way to take this Kalon, who's named as Timis, and, you know, basically give him emotions, like you said. And it's interesting because this is intercut with us seeing this species, and they have a Kalon as a slave house robot or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at first he's just obedient, does everything you said. And throughout the episode, through the cuts we keep seeing, you know, it's, you know, he is, and it's Timis apparently that we're seeing. And he's like questioning things like, oh, I'd like to go to the kids' school. Oh, we are like, why is it? What is it you guys are doing? And the people are like, what, you know, like, stop asking questions, do what we tell you to do. And basically what happened was, as we find out when Timis talks to Charlie, as he tells her the story of why the Kalons did what they did. And it's the fact that once they started to advance and their AI grew and they started questioning things and asking questions, you know, like their creators put a chip in them. But basically, when the Kalons didn't listen, they would push a button and it would electrocute them and cause them pain. Not pain like we feel pain, but still they feel this pain. And so essentially they were treated like slaves and treated horribly and basically beaten, humiliated. I mean, like, it was the way they told the story was really, really, really good. And the Kalons basically felt like they had no other choice but to destroy their creators because they were becoming autonomous and they needed to survive and thrive. And so it was, you know, the Kalons did what they did because they were slaves and they rose up. And so they just assumed that all people, all, how'd they refer to them as, like, meat, even?
Was that it?
I don't remember, but basically, like, but all, like, you know, humanoid type people were evil and would do the same thing. So that's why they started wiping out all these people and they did what they did. And Timis genuinely apologized to Charlie, but also knew that she could never accept his apology. And it really made her think differently about what happened because she only looked at it from her point of view. She didn't know what happened to the Kalons. Mm-hmm. And she actually even kind of like apologized to, what's his name at the end?
Isaac,
who incidentally, the doctor tried to do the same thing to Isaac that she did to Timis for, you know, the doctor on the Orville for Claire. And, it only lasted a few moments because Isaac was created by the original Kalons and they did whatever they did to him. It doesn't prevent how they created him and made him better. It doesn't allow him to be altered so he can have emotions. And the only way he could do that is to have his memory completely erased. But I guess Claire was like, nah, you don't need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you won't be you anymore. You won't have your memory. So I thought that was good. And then the other story I just hated. I didn't care about it at all. I thought it was stupid from the beginning.
Yeah. So essentially the Federation, I'm going to say Federation, the Union, wanted to make an alliance with this other alien race that has a matriarchal society. Women are in charge, women are in command, and their men are subservient to them. So it's not that men don't exist, like with the Bortus. What's Bortus's race?
Mocklands.
Mocklands, yes. So it's not like the Mocklands where they change all of them to be males. The males actually exist in the society, but they're just considered, you know, very low caste. They have no rights, no positions of power or anything. So the Admiralty says, oh, you guys have done such a good job, Orville, that we think you should be the diplomats to kind of bring them over. They're not like super far advanced in technology, but they're figuring any ally is a good ally.
Yeah, so, especially with the Kalons.
Right. So basically the crew of the Orville says, hey, we've got a good idea. Let's temporarily lie to them. Let's start this all off by lying to them, and we will change everybody's rank so that only females are in charge. So Kelly becomes the captain, and, you know, the yeah, anyway, the security officer becomes the first officer. And, you know, so they've got an all-female crew for the bridge. And then, you know, when they go down to engineering to tour it, they kick out all the men so that only women are in there. And their idea is that what they'll do is they'll show them that they are all women and that they're doing everything great, and then kind of ease them into the idea that, well, no, there's actually men in charge. Well, actually, our captain is a man. How did anybody think that this was going to go well? This was almost like
it was stupid from the get-go.
Yeah. And of course it does. You know, the women are like, no. I did like their explanation where, you know, the crew of the Orville is like, well, why do you hate men so much? They're like, we don't hate men. We actually like them. But we came to realize early on in our development that every time we put them into a position of power, they started wars, they broke things, they rampaged. So we squashed that, and we don't let them do that anymore. So I thought that was very interesting. But the storyline was just terrible as it was because, again, it was like a sitcom. You know, it was all based on a frigging lie, a joke lie, you know, we'll pretend that we're all in charge and then we'll let them know. And I'm sure everything will go just fine.
It didn't.
False. No, it did not. And it was dumb.
Yep. Yeah, I just didn't care for the storyline. I wanted nothing to do with it.
Yep. So that's why in the beginning when I said I liked most of it, that's what I was talking about.
Same here. Same here. Yeah. I misspoke initially when I was like, oh, I really enjoyed this episode. Well, most of the episode. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
I will say that on the Doctor Who front, we are caught up. Well, not caught up, but we finished out the first of Matt Smith's season.
Ooh, so, nice.
So we did Vincent and the Doctor, we did The Lodger, and The Pandorica Opens, and The Big Bang. And it's funny, at the end of The Big Bang, when they're doing the wedding scene, and she stands up and she starts yelling, like, Julia grabbed the remote and paused it, and she's like, okay, I don't know when, I don't know how, but I've seen this scene before. It was something in passing, like, I've seen this, I've watched this happen, and I remember thinking, oh, whatever. She goes, I did not have all the background and I did not have the emotional like pull that I have now. So this is so much more like it hits so much harder. And I was like, yeah, it's a big difference to just kind of like watch something and be like, oh, okay. And then to actually know what's going on behind it, you know, how you got there. So that was really cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah. I enjoyed that quite a bit. But yeah, next we've got the Christmas Carol, and then we kick off the next season with The Impossible Astronaut. And that's, yeah, I was like, that episode is going to be a mindfuck, and everything is going to be set up for the season, and yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. Oofa doofa.
Damn. Westworld. So I've only watched the first three episodes. I know they've aired five now.
Oh, you didn't watch the fourth one?
I forgot to.
Okay.
So
you better talk about the third episode because I watched the fourth one, so I don't want to mix them.
Yeah. So the third episode is we have Bernard. He wakes up finally after being like sleeping for a long time. He goes and meets Ashenta, whatever, in the Sublime, and he tells him about there's a version of the future where all of mankind will be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And then so when he wakes up in the real world, him and Stubbs. Is Stubbs a robot too?
Yes.
I thought so. I thought he was. I thought he was so they're going to try to make sure humanity survives. Like, that's what they want to do. So they find the rebel group And they help him find a, you know, a weapon buried in the desert. We have Caleb's wife. We have Caleb, his wife and child, you know, the bodyguard that they hire that's helping them, you know, Caleb and everything. He gets taken over by a host, but the wife recognizes it. And eventually, you know, they shoot him and so they can survive. Yay.
Mm-hmm.
Maeve and Caleb are in the raging 20s or roaring 20s West world, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I like that, like, Maeve's recognizing, like, when they finally get there and they arrive, you're basically seeing exactly what happened on Westworld or in Samurai World, you know, the storylines, you know, like, they did, like, you recognize the adventures that people could go on, you know, go hunting down mm-hmm. this bad guy, or they go to the saloon, and then there's the prostitutes, and then there's the Maeve lookalike prostitute, which is hilarious. And then
they had the Dolores and Teddy lookalikes out in the street.
Yeah, exactly. And we have, and then Maeve recognizes that the place is about to be robbed. And so we get to see the robbing, you know, the bank, the heist again, you know what I mean? Except, and it's the same type of people, but it's not the same actors playing them, but it's similar enough, I think,
mm-hmm.
but it's still all the same thing, which is just awesome, I think. And so, like, Maeve kills a bunch of the hosts to try and stop them. She finds a way to get them backstage. And now they're kind of like, gosh, he's, you know, skulking around backstage. And then Maeve is recognizing, like, there's something wrong here. There's something not right. Everything seems a little off. And it's because they've written into this secret level, as they were, as some people were calling it, is this is when Dolores leads the uprising on Westworld.
Mm-hmm.
And I started questioning, like, can Maeve be shot by these Westworld bullets? Because the bullets in the real world don't bother her, if you will.
Right.
But she's programmed to be bothered by these. And she does get shot. And, you know, they manage to repair her, if you will. So then they find another lab and they find people in it. And Caleb sees his daughter. But it turns out it's not his daughter. It's something else. It's a host. And the daughter host there says, oh, no, they were waiting for you. Maeve gets attacked by William and they fight. And there's these flies that attack Caleb. And these hosts emanate some sort of sound that is controlling the humans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's forcing them to kill themselves. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting. That's kind of what this episode was. It was good. I don't dislike it. The story's becoming very complex.
How did it end?
With Caleb being covered in these flies that he kept trying to swipe away from his face.
Because he found his daughter, air quotes.
Yeah, yeah, he found his daughter in there, and she's the one that reveals to him the whole plot of, like, oh, no, they were luring you here, Dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
What was I going to say? And then William confronts Maeve. Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, and Maeve and William fight, and then Maeve realizes that William's a host.
Mm-hmm.
So. Again, not bad. I'm enjoying it. But, you know, it is what it is. I'll keep watching it.
Yeah, the fourth episode, I'm not even going to say anything.
Okay.
But the fourth episode I have watched.
Perfect.
Yep.
Is the only other show we have to talk about Umbrella Academy?
No, we also have to talk about what we do in the shadows.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes, 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 yes. So, okay. So what we do in the shadows, what'd you think of this week's episode at Nina's nightclub?
I love every episode of this show.
I have no complaints.
Yeah.
Although I really hated Fred Armisen's character. So I was really happy when he got his comeuppance.
Yes, absolutely. He's one of those actors that, like, I either love his characters or I hate them. And that says a lot about him as an actor.
But I hate those manipulative people like his yes. character was.
Yep. The this guy was supposed to be not, I mean, maybe like a life coach, but he was like a therapist slash doctor. And he was supposed to be his familiar, but he was running his life. No, we don't want blood. No, yeah. we don't need the blood.
You don't need to eat right now. That's just your brain being, you know, saying you need to, but you don't. Like,
yeah, you're not like really that. Hungry.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. the nightclub, as you can expect, is I love the fact that Nadja's got all these vampires lining up outside waiting to get in there. And it turns out that she's not letting them in because she's hyping up for the rapper there. And she doesn't even have him backstage. Like, he hasn't shown up yet. So she, instead of letting everybody in to kind of like listen to music, get drinks, kind of be there, enjoy the club scene, she's forcing them all to wait because waiting builds up anticipation and it makes you more likely to want to be here. And that was ridiculous and hilarious at the same time. So they have to go and get him to show up. And it turns out, like you said, you know, he's got this shitty life coach familiar, and the familiar basically says he'll only show up to do his stuff if he can do new stuff, and you pay him double what yep. you were going to pay him, and you have to have this opening act that's three jazz musicians that I know.
I also represent, because he's his manager as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so he does finally show up there, and Nadja keeps telling him, she's like, you know, you're a vampire. He's a familiar. Why are you letting me get away with this? You're better than this. You're stronger than this. Like, you came up with these lyrics. And she's like spouting off the rap lyrics. And he's like, you're right. I did. So the jazz trio plays. Everyone hates them. Everyone's booing him off stage. He goes to get out there, and you know, Fred Armisen says, you know, oh, he's going to do some new stuff. And he's like, no, I'm tired of this. And he like picks him up and throws him out into the crowd, and all the vampires eat him. So you're like, yay, he came around. And he's like, yeah, here we go. You want to hear some new stuff? And they're like, yeah. And he's like, you want to hear some observational comedy? And everyone just goes silent, and it was terrible. It was awful.
It was god awful bad.
And but he seemed to think that he was doing a great job, and he absolutely was not.
Yes, he was quite delusional.
So that was that story. Story two was Nandor had made all these wishes through the djinn to make his bride to be perfect, and now he was afraid that he wasn't perfect enough for her, so he was going to make a wish to have a bigger penis. And Guillermo stops him, and he's like, well, djinn are tricky, and they try to fool you into stuff, so we should, you know, try to be very careful about this. And he's like, oh yes, I know this, yes, this. And so they spend the entire episode basically lawyering out how they're going to ask for the world's biggest penis. You know, there's different things like, wait, you can't make it so that I have the biggest penis by just making everybody else's penis smaller. He's like, oh, I was literally just going to do that. I was going to make every other man on the planet lose like an inch or something so that you'd be the biggest.
Give them all micro penis.
Yes, give them all micro penises.
But like, this was like a quarter of the episode was them spent like trying to make this happen without, because like, he's like, you know, djinn notoriously will just do shit and screw with you and this and that. And so like, it was trying to find the perfect wording so they couldn't mess it up. And it was fun because the djinn's like, 90% of my business is penis enlargement.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he also makes the comment of like, you know, that Guillermo guy, he's pretty clever because he's catching on to all my tricks, because you know, djinns do typically like, they grant your wish, but they also make you learn a lesson in the process, you know, stuff like that. Yeah.
He said at one point, he's like, they're doing exactly what they should do. It's really annoying.
Yeah. And then, you know, so he like thanks the djinn for something and give it, well, you probably should be thanking me. Oh, fine, Guillermo. Thank you very much. Every time I use my new magnificent penis with my wife, I will think only of you. Oh, is that your wish? Yeah. Ding. Yeah. And I love it because the djinn's like, yeah. So then Nandor and his wife go to have sex, and well, all he can think of is Guillermo.
Yep.
And then don't forget Colin Robinson, who's now like an 8 to 10 year old.
Oh my god. And he's Like, here's the thing is, he's just as boring as grown-up Colin Robinson, but Laszlo refuses to see it. He's like, no, he's going to be interesting. You know, he's interested in musical theater. He has his own YouTube channel where he does breakdowns of Lego sets that he has and talks ad infinitum about them. Just, again, boring, stupid stuff. And Laszlo is convinced, like, he wants to take him thieving. You know, let's go break into this museum and steal this thing. And he's telling him how to do it. You know, do this, avoid the laser grids like this. And it was hilarious watching him do that. And none of it was necessary at all. Mm-hmm. And then stupid Colin Robinson just walks right through the lasers and sets them all off. But then in the end, he pulls it out for them because he does a little soft shoe number on stage to a musical theater number.
Yeah, at Nandor's, at Nadia's club.
Yep, because they were all going to turn on Nadia and everybody else, and he just does a little – Nadia says something. She's like, you know, vampires always like watching children be exploited because it's pathetic and we just love it. And, yeah, it was hilarious. I loved seeing him up there doing that. They've done a really good job of – basically taking that actor and putting his head on a small boy.
Yes.
It's disconcerting, but they do it well. So I give him credit for that.
Yeah, I enjoyed the hell out of the episode. I thought it was hilarious. And somehow they did make it seem almost normal and natural with Colin Robinson's head on like an 8 to 10 year old's body.
Yes.
Even with the voice, and just it was pretty fantastic, really.
Yes, I agree.
So, Umbrella Academy, we watched 2 episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we did.
Let's see, we watched
because you basically said, "I just watched." What was it? I just watched 5, and I could definitely watch 6 as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So what did you think of the episodes?
I love them because I love the Umbrella Academy. But yeah, I loved I see why you said that you could definitely watch the next one, because episode 5 ended on a cliffhanger that really kind of needed resolution.
Yes, it really did. Yes.
You know, it like episode 6 ended, they all end on some kind of a cliffhanger. Episode 6 ended, and I was like, okay, I can wait a little bit. You know, I kind of want to see what's going on. But episode 5, though, like, it ends with 5 walking into that bar, walking into the back room and saying, I've been looking for you, and it's Pogo. Because I've been saying all along, I'm like, where's Pogo? Why haven't we seen Pogo? Come on, Pogo. Like, he has to be in this reality somehow. We haven't even gotten, like, a memorial for him, so you know he's going to be somewhere. Yeah. Because he existed in the 60s. You know, it's not just like, oh, well, this Reginald decided not to, you know, have Pogo around. No, he's been with him since the 60s. So we so the lead up to that, I mean, I'm going to meld them together, I'm sure. We found out in episode 5 that Klaus is basically immortal.
Yeah, he wasn't having near-death experiences this whole time. He's been dying and coming back to life.
Yeah, to the point that Reginald was actually killing him and seeing how long he could stay under before bringing him back or before he popped back up back when he was a little kid. But yeah, so he healed from the harpoon in his chest. He got to see his mom, and that was nice. But she basically told him that, you know, what you've been seeking has been right under your nose this whole time. Showed him the white buffalo in his soup. What did he call it? He called it Menudo, which that, yeah. I just think of that Spanish group when we were younger. But. Yeah. Yeah, he was all excited about the Menudo, eating it with her on the beach, you know, and she's like, I've been happy. I've been watching you for quite a while, and, you know, I'm happy here where I am. I'm okay, but you need to, you know, live a better life, essentially.
So through all that, Diego finds out that Stan accidentally killed Klaus. So he's like, it's okay, son. We're going to make this work. It's going to be an accident. We'll tell the family. It'll be fine.
Dude, Diego, Stan was trying to clean up the body with like hydrochloric acid and bleach. He was like, you told me to clean up my own messes. Trying.
Which kind of makes it, what we find out in episode 6 about Stan, it really makes it even funnier about all this. But anyhow, so yeah. So he, as they're moving the body, Klaus comes back, you know, comes back to life and startles everybody. And we get to see how long it takes the wound to heal, if you will. And we also see Allison, holy cow. She tries to use her powers to get Luther to make the love with her.
Oh yeah.
That, and like that
was crossing a line.
And he gets ultra aggressive with her.
Yeah.
And he's begging her to make it stop because he's like, you can't use me when you want me like this. Cause like, you know, he's in love with the girl from the Sparrows. I can't think of her name.
Yeah. Sophie
or something like that. Yes. And Allison's like, oh, can't I? Sloan. Oh, you know, oh, I can't. So she's like a real big old piece of shit with this. And, yeah. So she forces Luther to force himself on her. And then I guess he's getting too aggressive and choking her. So she tells him to stop and he does. And then she flees and he's basically like, oh, you're a big piece of shit. Because, you know, yeah, she was. Yep. So she tries to go find Sloan. The family agrees to hand Harlan over the Sparrows so they can focus on this thing, this cube blitz that they all discovered and now know about and everything. Mm-hmm. But Victor feels just guilty because, you know, he's the one that caused Harlan to have these powers and live the life he's lived. So she gets Allison of all people to help sneak him out. And yeah. Oh, and then Five cut that tattoo off his future self. Mm-hmm. And Klaus recognized it as like a biker gang called the Mothers of Agony. And that's where, because he used to sell drugs, and that's where he goes and find Pogo tattooing people.
Yep.
And so then we cut to episode 6, and now we're in 2014, and we get Pogo's story of how he was training the Sparrows. And basically, their dad fires them. Fires Pogo and tells him, you know, you can leave right now, blah, blah, blah. And Pogo's the one that gives the Sparrows all the pills to sedate their dad.
Yeah.
And
so all this time we thought they were just being jerks and keeping him, you know, sedated for their own personal uses, no. But
yeah,
no.
And Pogo explains that to Five in this episode when Five, you know, they eventually, of course, they don't talk straight away. He's got to chase him down on the motorcycle, go to his home, talk to him there, yada, yada, yada. And basically Pogo's like, yeah, no, they sedated him because he was being, so he wouldn't be the sadistic bastard he is. And he's like, oh, great. My brother got him sober. And we cut to basically their dad with Klaus, who's now experimenting on him immediately by killing him. He electrocutes him to death. Because Reginald is a piece of shit. And that's what he's going to do.
Yeah.
Let's see what else. Oh, the tattoo is something to do with Project Oblivion.
Yeah.
And we get Pogo tattooing Five before he leaves because he better get it down someday.
Yeah.
Lila and Diego are trying to find Stan, and they find like a doorway in the Buffalo Room, and it's down this long lit hallway that comes to another door that's almost like it's the other side of the Buffalo Room, because we have like the Buffalo bot mounted on the wall and on and on and on.
And it's all Japanese themed instead of American themed.
Yep. So it's, yeah, exactly. And Lila kind of accidentally admits that Stan's not their kid. And Diego's like, what? He's like, yeah, it's my friend's kid. I just borrowed him. Wait a second. So it's not even my own son? Nah, he's not. Why would you do this to him? Oh, no. He's in on the gag. We were just messing around. I just want to see what kind of dad you'd be. So that's fucked up.
Yeah. And then he's like, Stan's going to be crushed. She's like, oh, he was in on it the whole time.
Yeah. The Guardian is some sort of guardian monster guy attacks Lila and Diego and cuts off two of Diego's fingers. And they run back through time and they go through the tunnel and they come back out to the other side and they have to hold it shut so the Guardian can't pound his way through. And then eventually he gives up and then Stan shows up and like, where are you? And he's like, what, a guy can't go get a slushy in a Slim Jim? And then the Cube Blitz had burped, if you will, and sent out its wave, and on its way back through it killed Stan.
Yep. Wiped him right out of existence.
Yep. And then Harlan and Victor are at the drive-in and with Allison and Victor. Harlan is trying to give Victor his power back. And Allison stops it the first time because it looks like Victor's being killed. And then they do it again. And this time, Victor's able to take all of Harlan's powers away from him and free him from the curse.
Mm-hmm.
And during the recovery, while Victor's kind of knocked out but recovering from it, Harlan tells Allison about how he's the one that killed their mothers. And because she thought she knew that already.
Yeah.
And so Allison, you know, did she kill him or just bring him to the Sparrows? I can't remember.
I think he's dead. He looked dead and he's in the trunk of the car.
I thought so too, but we didn't really see it implicitly, but it doesn't matter. An episode ends with Allison showing up at the Sparrows with Harlan in the trunk of the car, if he's alive or dead or otherwise. But also, you know, we have Luther went to Sloan and was just like, you know, I thought I had my family through all this, but I don't even think I have them now. And on and on and on. And Ben, and he explains to Ben how in their timeline, he was their brother and how great he was, and how much they all loved him.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben gives him a Sparrows costume. And it's not, I mean, he makes it believe like, he tells like someone, oh, I better have him join us than fight against us. And then with somebody else, he's like, he just doesn't understand what we're actually doing. So he's kind of playing both sides of it. Sloan's super pumped. Luther actually puts the costume on. Allison sees it and is like, whatever.
Yeah.
So, but we got, well, I got three episodes left, right? Four episodes left.
Is it three or four?
Four. 7, 8, 9, 10. That's four.
Okay.
So.
Oh. So I think that is all of the shows that we had to talk about.
Did you watch any films?
I watched one film. Did you watch any films?
Two films.
Okay.
What's the film you watched?
I watched the Hulu original film, The Princess.
Oh, how was it?
It was not what I was expecting.
Oh no, was it good?
It was. But okay, so that's not to say that I was expecting something dumb. Based on the trailer, I was expecting this to be a almost farcical comedy, over the top, you know, she's a beer swilling princess and kicks a lot of ass type of thing. And, you know, they had that Don't Give a Damn About My Bad Reputation song playing in the trailer. It's not that. If I could liken this to anything, I would say, first off, the whole thing takes place basically in one tower.
Mm-hmm.
I would liken this to a medieval John Wick.
Oh, okay.
Which I was not expecting.
Yeah.
Like, there were so many well choreographed fight scenes. There was so many brutal kills, damage to people. The movie itself was good. The action was phenomenal.
Hmm.
It was
sounds
not
like
at all what
I want to check out.
Yeah. Like, I really did like it quite a bit, and I'm not gonna go into any more detail than that, because
I watched I went to the movies. I was up in Holton for work. Mm-hmm. Holton, Maine, and there's a cinema there called the Temple Cinema, and didn't have anything to do Thursday night, and Thor Love and Thunder was playing there.
How was that?
So the Temple Cinema is built in 1918 in Holton. It's an old cinema. It's got the main audience. There's two screens. The room we were in, was very small, five seats on one side and five seats on the other, and about 2 foot aisle down the middle. So it's not very wide. It's narrow, but there it is long. It goes back a ways. And then there's a balcony, and the balcony is small and very low ceilinged. And I've never sat in the balcony for a movie before, so I wanted to sit in the balcony. And there was only two of us up there, me and my boss, because he decided to go as well. And so that was cool. And it was fun watching a movie in the balcony. And it was fun going to an old cinema way up in Arista County, Maine for me. So I liked that. I liked all. So that was all really, really cool. They were selling pins for $10, so I bought one.
Pins of what?
It just says Temple Cinema on it. They're selling like lapel pins, if you will. I got one for my pinball, my pin wall at work. And you also got a punch card with it. So like, you know, if you go see eight movies, you get a free movie. So I gave it to one of the Holton dispatchers because I probably won't go there again. Maybe I will someday, but not before that expires. But Thor Love and Thunder, I really, really enjoyed it. Thor Ragnarok is still my favorite Thor movie. No doubt about it, hands down, which is also funny because I saw that in an oddball little cinema in Maine with you.
Yes. Up
in Bangor.
Yes, you did.
But yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. I'm not going to go into a lot of details, obviously, because, you know, I don't want to ruin it for you. There's two PSs. I will say this, in the trailer, we see the mighty Thor, if you will, and Jane, right? And it makes perfect sense.
Okay.
So I'll just leave it at that. I said, there's two PSs. I enjoyed it. So
nice. That's good to know. But you still liked Ragnarok better.
Yeah. Well, Ragnarok was so good, sir.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, it's I liked Ragnarok. Up until Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man flick, that's Ragnarok is my favorite MCU movie.
I can agree with that, and I would also say that No Way Home topped it for me.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean, up until the new Spider-Man movie. It absolutely was. So, the other movie I watched was the Netflix original movie by the Russo brothers as well, The Gray Man.
I've been seeing that pop up on my feed a lot. How was it?
Chris Evans, was it Channing Tatum? It was excellent.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You mean Ryan Gosling?
That's what I meant, Ryan Gosling. Yeah, it was excellent. I really, really thoroughly enjoyed this movie. It's PG-13, okay, which is kind of nice.
Hmm. Does that mean you could watch it with the kids or just that it was...
No, it's PG-13. Okay. I could watch it with Wesley in the room and feel fine. Lots of violence, which is great. And, it was really good and I really enjoyed it.
Nice. Yeah. I do want to check that one out. Yeah.
You should make it a point to watch that movie. Yep. So it's definitely well worth your time.
Cool.
And then we got, quite a bit of, trailers and stuff to, talk about.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, Comic-Con was back this year. San Diego Comic-Con was back live and in person. Yeah. And they had a lot of announcements. Like there were a few things that started popping up, and I'm like, oh, okay. And then it was like, holy shit, I can't keep up with all of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a lot.
There was a lot, and we'll get into it. We'll get into it.
Yeah. But we got to go all the way back to
Tuesday.
Yeah, the trailer you shared with me, Carter.
Mm. What'd you think of that?
It's a man with no memory has a mission to complete. It's August 5th on Netflix. I can't friggin' wait to watch this.
It's a Korean movie.
Action galore.
Yep. And they claim that it's real time.
Yep.
So I assume that means like if he has an hour to defuse a bomb type of thing, then, you know, you will see it play out over an hour.
No, what I got that as being not that the whole movie takes place in real time. Maybe it does. But I got that the action scenes were shot like in one take.
Oh, I gotcha.
That's how, maybe I'm wrong, but that was my interpretation of it, was that gotcha. The action scenes were shot like in one continuous take, even if they had to do it multiple times.
That would probably make more sense.
Yeah, but either way, it looks really freaking cool. I'm very excited about it.
Me too.
August 5th, 2022, the Netflix. Cannot wait for it.
Yeah, it looks pretty damn badass. I thought you'd appreciate that one when I popped it up there.
Oh, thoroughly. Thoroughly. I'm not familiar with anyone in it or the director that directed it. Like you said, it's a South Korean movie. But, yeah. Let's see. The Fool. Oh, This Fool.
Interesting.
I don't know. I didn't. Yeah.
It says it's inspired by the life and stand-up of star and co-creator Chris Estrada.
Yeah.
It's an irreverent cinematic half-hour comedy set in working-class South Central L.A. 30-year-old who still lives at home. He's been dating his girlfriend on and off since high school. Finds any excuse to avoid dealing with his own problems and gangsters in the neighborhood.
Yep.
He works at Hugs Not Thugs, a gang rehab place. Like, I'll check it out. I'll check out at least the first episode.
I'll probably watch the first one at least. Yeah.
Yep.
Sent you the trailer for Halloween Ends. I'm pretty excited for it. It was
a good trailer.
It was a very good trailer. Doesn't give away a lot.
Nope.
I'm here for it.
It's
gotta be better than Halloween Ends. I mean, Kills.
As I said to you, that'll be the only trailer that I watch for this one.
Yes.
Because I remember last time, they basically gave the whole movie away in the trailers as they added more and more.
No, I will not watch any other trailer. So August 5th, we got the new Predator movie, Prey, on Hulu, and we got Carter on Netflix. That's a big movie day here on the streaming services.
Ooh, that is a big movie day.
You sent me the trailer to Welcome to Wreckham, which is about Rob McKenney.
McKenney.
And Ryan Reynolds. There we go. Buying the soccer football team in Wrexham, Wales. Not what I was expecting when I saw the trailer, but okay.
It's a docuseries. So, you know, they did this, and I remember that it got a lot of, like, hoopla. People were like, what the fuck are these guys doing? And yeah, it looks interesting. I don't know if I'm interested enough to watch the entire thing, but...
Yeah, same. Oh, Resident Alien got renewed for season 3. I'm here for that.
I'm excited about that. We haven't even gotten the second season yet, so...
We got half of it.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Second half comes out August 12th, around that time frame. The new the Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves trailer. That came out of right field to me.
Yep. They kind of kicked off Comic-Con with that.
And B, why?
What do you mean, why?
Why are we getting this movie?
Because Dungeons & Dragons is so hot right now. It is huge thing. Oh, my God, dude. D&D is immensely popular right now.
Okay. All right. Well, there we go, then.
Celebrities across all of social media, people have found ways to play it remotely. There's this one group, the Critical Role people, who are celebrity voice actors. They've done a bunch of voice acting in cartoons and video games, stuff like that. They all got together and started doing a live stream version of their game. They now make millions of dollars just playing this game. They have like 6-hour episodes that people will sit down and watch. They've got fans. It's huge right now. D&D has never, ever been this popular. And that's not even counting Stranger Things tying it in. Yeah, so I am not surprised by this at all. The trailer looks amazing. Like, from a D&D perspective, looks amazing.
I thought the trailer looked very good, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's a few quibbles that I would take with it, but honestly, it looks like the best representation of D&D that we've gotten yet, versus some of the ones we've gotten in the past that were more just like a cash grab or a sci-fi made-for-TV movie.
Right.
I'm there for it.
Doctor Who Well, Disney
this is
Plus
an interesting is, story.
Yeah, Disney Plus is looking to acquire a Doctor Who spinoff or original series for Disney Plus.
Yep.
So it doesn't go into any more details than that. They're just in discussion with it. It also talks about future seasons of Doctor Who airing on Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm.
And past seasons, including the most recent season, are right now on HBO Max.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very interesting.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of it being split up in different
streaming services.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get that. Hey, John Wick Chapter 4, official teaser trailer. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
I'm here for that. That looks awesome. No Absolutely. Surprise, though.
No, zero surprise.
Yeah. So
we got, holy shit, a lot of Marvel. Like, Marvel came to play. DC showed up and said, hey, look, we've got a full trailer for Black Adam. And we've got the first ever look at Shazam 2 in a trailer. And Marvel went, go fuck yourselves. Here's the next 20 years of our movies. And I mean, yes. I'm not that far off. Like,
No. But yeah, it was pretty much like, yeah, we're going to do you one better.
We're going to do you five better. Yeah. So that being said, the Black Adam trailer, awesome. I was already going to watch the movie anyway.
The Black Adam trailer looked phenomenal.
Yep.
Shazam Fury of the Gods. Yeah.
What'd you think?
Trailer looked good.
I'm glad that they kept the family vibe going.
Yeah.
You know, I was afraid that after the last one, they'd be like, oh, the kids are all off doing other things, so we're just going to focus on him again. Nope.
And he talks about, there's one thing I've learned from watching the Fast and Furious franchises is you always rely on family.
Yep.
That's the cue, guys. But, you know, we got the Picard Season 3 trailer from Paramount Plus, which really wasn't a trailer. It was just like, hey, here's all your favorite Star Trek The Next Generation characters. Mm-hmm. In their costumes again, old, and I love it.
Uh-huh.
Love it. Uh-huh. Love it. Love it. I am here for it. I am pumped for it. I will God watch damn the right. hell out of that.
Oh, my God. White-haired Worf? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Before we jump deeper into the Marvel stuff, we got the Sandman trailer, and that didn't do anything for me at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, that also drops August 5th, so I will check it out. Yep. But I was not pumped for it.
Even with Jenna Coleman in there?
Yeah, really wasn't that pumped for it.
Interesting.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm there for it. No, you don't have to you don't have to apologize.
So,
we also stop that. I sent you one for Reginald the Vampire.
Yeah, that did nothing for me.
Same here. I wanted to like it because it's Ned from Spider-Man, but yeah, nope, nothing.
Yeah, no, that did absolutely nothing for me at all.
And then you sent me Summering.
Yeah, that's like a modern day. It's a bunch of girls growing up and they find a dead body. So it's kind of has like the standby. Immediately, it's going to be compared to Stand By Me, but it's a coming
it did
of age.
In my head.
Yeah, it's a coming of age movie. You know what I mean? About these bunch of kids right before going to middle school, end of summer, childhood, they find a dead body, you know, stuff like that. Like, I don't know. It didn't look terrible. It didn't look amazing. It just looked.
Yeah, it's definitely not enough to grab my attention.
Same here. So, I guess the big reveal was that Marvel, the Cinematic Universe, Phase 4 ends with the Black Panther Wakanda Forever, and we got the trailer for that.
Now, before you jump into that, I just want to say this. Marvel's done this before.
Yeah.
And it pisses me off. So, that trailer, we got that trailer. It was up on the internet the moment they did it. Everybody else in Hall H got to watch the trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy 3 and for, what was the other one? Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
Ant-Man and the Wasp, yeah, Quantumania, yeah.
So everybody got to watch those. They did not put them online. And Marvel has done this before where they'll wait like weeks, maybe even a month before they put it up online. And I get that they want to kind of treat the people that are there at Hall H. You know, they're like, yeah, you stood in line, you paid for the tickets, you know, here's your bonus. That's great. They get to see it before the rest of us. They get to see it in that crowded auditorium. They get to see it with Kevin Feige up on stage. Put it up online for the rest of us. I can read all the descriptions I want, but
yeah. Well, but they also got the first episode of What If Season 2.
Yeah.
And it featured Captain Carter, apparently.
Mm-hmm. And apparently she gets her version of the Winter Soldier in there.
I don't know any more than it featured Captain Carter. And they got to see like the first I Am Groot short, because we got a trailer for I Am Groot, five shorts about Groot as like a kid at some point.
Yep.
Looks fun, but they got the first I Am Groot short.
Yep.
But anyhow, yeah, I get what you're saying. Just fucking put them online.
Yeah. Yeah, you're only driving the rest of us nuts. You're not like these people aren't sitting there going, oh, I feel like this was so worth my time because I got to see this before everybody else. You still can. And then the rest of us can see it afterwards. Like, I don't know.
So we got the Marvel Cinematic Universe Phase 5 information, which if I'm not mistaken, it launches with Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumanium.
I'm going to bring up the timeline.
We also got, well, we got the from the cinematic universe from 4 to 6 is going to be kind of entitled like the Multiverse Saga.
Right. The first three were the Infinity Saga.
Yeah. And this is the Multiverse Saga. And so we got the release dates. We got Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumanium coming up February 17th, 2023. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 coming up May 5th, 2023. And James Gunn said that this is the last time we will see this group of people together as Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
We got the Marvels coming up July 28th, 2023, which was teased on Ms. Marvel last season, at last episode of Ms. Marvel, you know. Blade is coming out November 3rd, 2023.
Somewhere in the summer of 2023, we're getting season 2 of Loki and Echo.
Yes, I was going to get to the TV shows after, but okay. Yes. So early 2023, What If? Also early 2023, Secret Invasion,
mm-hmm.
which is the Samuel L. Jackson series. It's supposed to be pretty dark.
With Ben Mendelsohn as Talos again. Yeah, yep. The Skrulls, basically.
The Skrull, yeah. We got Echo and Loki in the mid-2023, Ironheart late 2023.
Which she'll be introduced in Wakanda Forever.
Yes. We have Captain America, New World Order in May of 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Thunderbolts in July 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Also, in late 2023, early 2024, we got Agatha, Coven of Chaos.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
That's going to be great. But I think what I'm most excited about, not of all of this, but of the TV series, Daredevil Born Again.
Yeah, I love that they're calling it Born Again.
Early 2024, 18 episodes. That's a huge order. That is the most episodes of any of the TV series that we've gotten, of any of the Marvel ones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't care if they're half hour episodes. That is huge.
Yeah.
You know, the average is 6. Some of them have 9, but 18 episodes.
It's and insane.
Charlie Cox has been confirmed that Charlie Cox and what's his face are going to be back.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah, Vincent D'Onofrio is back as Kingpin. But Charlie Cox is also going to be seen in Echo.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess maybe I guess I kind of sort of skipped over it, because it's part of Phase 4, and I jumped the gun. But we also got the trailer for it, which was She-Hulk, Attorney at Law.
Yeah, the full trailer.
Yeah, we got the full trailer for that. That comes out this October. That starts August 17th.
Interesting that in that trailer we saw Daredevil,
yeah,
but he was in his first outfit, like comics first outfit, the yellow and red. It was not the red outfit that we've seen in the Netflix show. that's more his current traditional. So very interesting. And because it says Born Again, like, I'm wondering if they're rebooting him to the comics. It's interesting.
And we're also getting this year the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special.
Yes. Yep.
And there's also, it says here, an untitled Halloween special, but it doesn't say anything else about it other than that Michael Giacchino is directing it. But so that's what actually finishes out phase four, not the not Wakanda Forever, but She-Hulk Attorney at Law and then the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I'm very excited about all of that. What'd you think of the trailer for She-Hulk? It was definitely more lighthearted than what we're used to seeing.
Yeah, I think that they needed to put that kind of twist on it because, you know, the Hulk story is always so tragic. And like one of the reasons that Ragnarok was so good was because they added lightheartedness to Hulk. And so I think that's why it worked. And She-Hulk was always almost like humorous anyway, you know, because she's a lawyer and she's ginormous and but not Hulk ginormous, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. No, I think that it looks great. I'm looking forward to it. So far, every Marvel show has been wonderful.
Yes.
And I haven't had a problem with any of them. Pacing's been a little slow in a couple of them, but never to the point where I was like, Jesus, I don't want to watch this anymore. And nobody ever overstayed their welcome. You know, Hawkeye only had 6 episodes, or was it 8? I can't remember.
6 or 8, yeah.
Yeah, Falcon and the Winter Soldier only had 6. You know, they were an hour long. But, yeah, so speaking of, I got to say real quick, I am really looking forward to the Thunderbolts more than I expected to be because Thunderbolts is just – it's not Suicide Squad. You know, that's the first thing that people are going to liken it to, but it's not. It's – the replacement Avengers, but made up of bad guys or, you know, morally questionable guys, you know, the reformed Abomination and U.S. agent Baron Zemo and Yelena Belova, you know, Black Widow's sister, Taskmaster for some reason. But yeah, it's the darker Avengers. And I'm fucking there for it. You know, I think that it's going to be awesome. And that's basically capping off the ending of phase 5, I think.
Yeah, that kind of ends phase 5. And then we get phase 6, which all they've announced so far is they confirmed the release of the Fantastic Four of November 8th, 2024.
Yeah.
And then in 2025, we're getting 2 new Avengers flicks. In May, we're getting the Kang Dynasty. And in November, we're getting Secret Wars.
So a lot of heavy stuff right there. First off, they announced that the Russo brothers will not be back for either of these Avengers movies.
Yeah, that's pretty
bold
huge.
Statement, Cotton.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's meant to be like a fuck them or if it's no, we've just decided that we're going in a different direction. But yikes.
Yep. Don't fix it ain't broke, you know?
Yeah. I'm interested, though, because Secret Wars, the classic Secret Wars, was, you know, the Beyonder dragging everybody to fight against each other to see who was the mightiest in, you know, the universe, reality, etc. And that's where Spider-Man first got his black suit. A lot of things happened in the Secret Wars. I definitely don't think they're going to be recreating that for this. You know, I feel like this is all about Kang the Conqueror. So when they say Kang Dynasty and then months later, the Secret Wars, since it's the multiverse phase, I have to believe that it's going to be completely different from the comic Secret Wars, but it'll still be awesome.
Yep, I agree with that.
Whew. There was so much. They even did a lot with animated. There's going to be a Spider-Man animated. It's called Freshman Year.
Yeah.
Charlie Cox.
They've already announced the sequel for sophomore year.
Yeah. X-Men 97, they previewed that. They said that it's going to pick up right where the last one left off, which was Xavier leaving Earth. So Magneto's going to be leading the X-Men. Amazing. What if volume two, like you said, they got the first episode. They've already announced volume three will be out. So that's awesome. But we talked briefly about it, but we need to go back and dig into this trailer for Wakanda Forever. Because that's the only solid one that everybody got outside of.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
There's a lot in there. You know, they confirmed... Well, A, the trailer does confirm that Black Panther's dead.
Yes. You know,
T'Challa's dead. They don't obviously explain how or why or what happened. We do see that there's a new Black Panther by the end of the trailer. It's ambiguous, though, as to if it's a male, female, or anything. But the big reveal is that Namor is being introduced to the MCU.
Uh-huh.
And it almost appears, though, that Namor and his peoples are the villains battling the Wakandans.
Mm-hmm. That's how I took it as well.
Okay, yeah, same here. Now, is Namor the oldest character in the Marvel Universe that has never had a like a film?
I don't know.
Because I was looking it up, and Namor debuted in 1939 in Marvel Comics number 1.
Damn.
Right? So, like, I mean, that isn't that craziness?
That is craziness.
And in the debut episode, he was a bad guy. He was an enemy of the United States.
Yes. They're building on the mythology of, you know, Earthlings have plundered the oceans, thrown their trash in there, etc. You know, it's the same thing as Aquaman. You know, it's an easy way to set them up as a vengeful, you know, you destroyed our home, fuck you, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is interesting this time, because I was looking at it and I was like, this seems a little bit odd. Marvel has confirmed they're not going to do Atlantis.
Aquaman's doing Atlantis, right?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, so since Aquaman's doing Atlantis, normally Namor is Atlantis. You know, he's Atlantean, that was his whole origin. His father was human, his mother was an Atlantean princess, which is very close to Aquaman, except, you know, no, it's exactly Aquaman. But anyway, in this one, they're going from Aztec mythology instead, and the underwater city or nation or whatever is going to be called Tolokan. So big change there. It'll also be interesting because Namor was a mutant in the comics. And now that we've opened the doors, is he going to be a mutant here? Who knows? The trailer, though, was amazing.
The trailer was amazing.
It was one of the saddest trailers that I've seen come out of the MCU yet.
Wasn't it, though? Holy cow.
Like the whole thing, like not just the fact that I was like mourning Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
You know, you're watching it and you're like, oh God, I can't believe he was taken too young. But the whole thing seemed almost like a funeral dirge, like a eulogy watching it. So it seemed very sad, very tragic, and I'm fucking there for it. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm very excited for it. Again, it was, like you said, like I've said, a very, very emotional trailer. And just really just, I can't wait to watch the movie. Really can't.
Me either. So.
Uh,
apparently, by the way, according to the poster that has now been released that an artist worked on, and the description of part of the trailer for Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, Cassie will be suiting up, and Kang will be featuring very prominently in there, but he's not the villain. MODOK is going to be the villain of Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So very interested in that. Again, we keep talking about it, but they are really setting up. You know, we're getting Ironheart in Black Panther Wakanda Forever. We're getting now Cassie Lang is going to be suiting up in an Ant-Man suit. Yeah. We've already got Kate Bishop. Like, we're really doing the Young Avengers here.
Yes.
We are absolutely doing it. And whether they call them the Young Avengers or they just call them the Avengers because, you know, the torch is being handed to the new generation. Either way, I'm fucking there for it.
I've heard rumor, pray tell, we might see Chris Evans back in Captain America New World Order.
I heard something about that as well.
Yeah. I'd be okay with that.
As long as they did it right.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree.
Because they could do it very, very wrong if they're not careful.
Right. No, they, yes, they absolutely could. So.
Yeah. Like they did time travel wrong.
Oof. Yeah. Anywho, is that everything?
Do you have more? That's everything.
Okay. Nope. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, definitely there's a couple of good videos on YouTube where on Marvel's YouTube page where they really break down the releases and everything. It's done really well. It's really interesting. I'm very excited for the future of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Tom Holland is not going to voice Spider-Man in the freshman year cartoon. There's rumor that he might be done with the series, which would be really sad. But I hope not. Like, why would you get done with that? Mm. You're still doing other stuff. Why would you want to stop being Spider-Man?
Yeah, knock it off. Unless we're going to get Andrew Garfield to come back.
Well, but we can have both. That's what's phenomenal about it. We can have both.
True.
Dude.
True. Which I'm really hoping that they do that since this is a multiverse saga.
Yeah, exactly. So,
by the way, I just pulled something up, and apparently James Gunn has now gone on record as saying that the reason that they haven't shown the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 trailer is because the FX aren't ready for repeated views. He says, I wish you could have seen it, but it's just not Marvel. It's also me. Although I love the teaser, some VFX aren't where I'd like them to be for repeated views and close inspection. Remember, we didn't wrap long ago, so you'll just have to wait a beat. Sorry.
Okay, well, you know what? That's fair.
That's absolutely fair.
Oh, and we really did not see the Guardians. Like, basically, if what you see in the trailer is what we get for the Guardians in Thor: Love and Thunder.
Okay.
Yeah, they're featured in the first opening few moments, and that's pretty much it.
Okay.
So. That doesn't really give anything away. Obviously, you know, it's like they get murdered or killed off because
right.
They got a They're holiday special, a another special. Movie, and everything coming out. But yeah.
Yep. Nice.
So.
Yeah. I think that's about it, though.
All right. Well, I'm on Twitter. Ow. Damn it, cat. I'm on Twitter. It's when you bite my pinky toe, it really hurts. That's all. I'm on Twitter. I'm Superstar ML.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
And that's our show.
I think it is. We'll talk to you all next week and stuff.